Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 76 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
To date, there is no evidence of local transmission within Kentucky.
Dr. Artis Hoban of the State Health Department says 19 Kentuckians are known to have the Zika virus, but none of them got it here.
A Portsmouth man is charged with raping a preschool child.
And some Kentucky professors debate the Electoral College.
In sports, the U.S. men's basketball team returns to Olympic action this afternoon against Argentina.
But Luke has the business news.
Scattered thunderstorms again tonight with lows in the upper 60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A 26-year-old Portsmouth man is charged in the rape of a 5-year-old boy. WSAZ is reporting that a Scioto County grand jury indicted Joshua Collins in connection with sexual abuses said to have occurred in the village of New Boston between 2006 and 2007. New Boston police say Collins and his family lived there at the time, and he was a babysitter for the child. The stepmother of the alleged victim says the boy opened up about the relationship nearly a year ago, and that's when police began investigating. Collins was arrested shortly after the grand jury indictment on August 10th.
According to the Ledger Independent, Maysville police are investigating the death of a 37-year-old man discovered in a storage building. The body of 37-year-old Albert McKinney of Maysville was found Sunday in the structure behind a Forest Avenue home. Police are asking anyone who may have information about McKinney to contact them.
Multiple lawsuits have been brought against Lexington Catholic High School. As KNN's Kurt Darling reports, the actions allege race and gender discrimination.
Attorney Amos Jones says his office filed a trio of lawsuits Tuesday afternoon in Fayette Circuit Court against Lexington Catholic. Jones says he filed the lawsuits on behalf of three former students, one being a mother of a 14-year-old boy who claims her son was the target of racial discrimination, and another parent who said her child was battered at the school. Jones says the third lawsuit was filed on behalf of a woman alleging sexual harassment and discrimination. I'm Kurt Darling.
The Kentucky Department for Public Health says there are 19 known cases of the Zika virus in the Commonwealth. Dr. Artis Hoven is a medical consultant for the agency. She testified today before a panel of state lawmakers in Frankfort. Dr. Hoven says all the Kentuckians who have the virus came down with it while traveling abroad, and protocols have been set up to share information about all such cases with federal, state, and local officials.
KDPH has included Zika virus infection among the conditions and diseases requiring notification to the local health department and to the state. It's an absolute necessity. We are working regularly with our blood banking centers and agencies to protect the blood supply.
Hoven says no one in the U.S. has contracted Zika through a blood transfusion. She says the Department for Public Health will be providing information about the virus this week at the Kentucky State Fair.
Child care centers in Kentucky are closing, and more could be mothballed unless the state boosts its support for those services. So says the head of a company that operates 12 daycare centers in the Louisville area. Richard Morris is vice president of Child Care Advocates of Kentucky. Over the past decade, he says, Kentucky has increased its funding for child care assistance by 4%, but costs have gone up 36%. Morris says that's not a sustainable financial model, and it's made it difficult for him to keep good employees.
We have lost a lot of our quality folks. I've had folks that's worked for me over 20 years that are going down a road and flipping burgers or waiting tables, okay? It's not a very becoming situation. And we are at the brink of having to close our centers or change our model to where we're only accepting people coming through the door and paying.
Morris testified today before the Kentucky General Assembly's Interim Joint Committee on Health and Welfare.
The Secretary of Kentucky's Cabinet for Health and Family Services says officials will be making some changes to Governor Matt Bevin's Medicaid proposal. Vicki Yates Brown-Glisson told the State Medicaid Oversight and Advisory Committee today that officials are still reviewing the public comments submitted on the proposal. She said they were thoughtful and very helpful. She did not detail what the changes might be. Kentucky was one of 32 states that expanded its Medicaid program under the Federal Affordable Care Act. More than 400,000 people were covered under the expanded program, which Bevin says is too large for the state to afford. Bevin's plan would charge small premiums to able-bodied adults, and it would require them to have a job or volunteer for a charity in order to keep their benefits.
Morehead will have to wait several more months to get hooked into a $300 million federal and state project to improve and expand Kentucky's broadband access. Kentucky Wired is partnering with the Saving Our Appalachian Region organization to help make that happen in the eastern part of the Commonwealth. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the next step for Morehead is the planning of the so-called last mile of the project into the city from its I-64 corridor. Trent notes that a Lexington company is handling that work, which will eventually involve Corning Incorporated, the world's largest manufacturer of fiber optic cable.
Corning is looking for areas like us to be a beta test, so to speak. So let's see what we can do. We'll work for them, get them the best deals, and then have somebody come in and invest in us. We'll work with them and try to help them recoup their investment, basically.
Trent expects Morehead to be completely connected to the Kentucky Wired initiative in about a year.
Rouen officials have been ordered to adjust the design for the county's new detention center, a change that will add $22,000 to the project's final price tag. Judge Executive Walter Blevins says the county recently received that news from a state inspector.
It was basically brought about by the state buildings and plumbing. The firewall was not adequate for them, even though I think there's 9 other buildings in the state that before the new administration that had used the same kind of procedure, but the state wanted us to change it, so we had to go through some change orders.
The state change order was initially going to cost Rouen County $60,000, but Blevin says the jail project's construction manager, Eddie Sorrell, worked with the state to lower the cost of the improvements. Work on Rouen's new $21 million jail continues just east of Morehead. It's expected to open late next year or in early 2018.
Ewing's city government is in disarray, and Fleming Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy says that's costing the county money. Mayor Pamela McFarland quit last year, and a replacement still has not been appointed. Meanwhile, Ewing's 3-member city council is not meeting on a regular basis. According to Foxworthy, because of those issues, the county is still waiting to be paid for some road work it's done in Ewing as part of an interlocal agreement.
They're about $11,000, I think, in arrears, and we're looking to try to see what the next fiscal year is going to bring, because we're already into our 16-17 year, and nothing's been signed on their agreement with the state to receive the money that they should receive.
Foxworthy says no one from Ewing has done the paperwork necessary to get that funding from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet's Road Aid Fund. He adds Fleming officials are looking at what legal options are available to the county for recovering that cash from the city.
Morehead State University's Board of Regents is holding a public forum Friday in Ashland on its search for a new president. It's scheduled for 4:30 at the school's Ashland campus on College Drive. There are also a pair of meetings in Morehead scheduled for Monday. The first is at 1 p.m. in Button Auditorium and is for employees only. The second takes place at 4:30 in the Morehead Conference Center and is open to the whole community. Wayne Martin is a member of the MSU Regents and chairs the search committee. He says nobody will be more impacted by the choice of a new president than the university's current faculty and staff.
And we want to know what those constituents are looking for, what attributes they think are most important. They also are very familiar with some of the challenges that we have with the economic conditions in our primary service area. Those constituents on campus are also very aware that there has been budget issues.
The Regents need to replace Dr. Wayne Andrews, who is retiring at the end of June. He has been Morehead's president since 2005.
The newest member of the Morehead State University Board of Regents says it would probably help if the school's new president is from the Appalachian region. Pike County Attorney Terry Walters says that would give MSU's 14th president a better perspective on current and future challenges.
Obviously, I would like to see someone who is familiar with our area, who is familiar with the challenges we are facing in eastern Kentucky now. And you really have to have almost had a presence here to really know what is happening.
Walter says it's important to choose a new president who has a passion for eastern Kentucky and for educating its young people.
The Fairview Board of Education has decided to keep the tax rate at the same amount this coming year. MSPR's Kenzie Thompson reports.
The Ashland Daily Independent reports the shutdown of AK Steel last year has caused the Fairview District to lose about $40,000 in revenue. The board has denied Superintendent Michael Taylor's recommendation of accepting the compensating tax rate of 72.2 cents per $100 of assessed property value and instead keeping it at 69 cents. According to Taylor, not even the compensating rate will raise enough money to cover the loss. He believes the group's decision is the worst that he's ever seen a school board make. While the impact of that decision won't have an immediate impact, Taylor expects the district to have to cut programs and employees next year. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Ashland Mayor Chuck Charles says approval of a countywide alcohol sales issue in a special election next Tuesday could trigger the opening of some adult-oriented businesses in Boyd County. Charles says passage would allow bars in places where they are not currently permitted, and some of those businesses could feature adult entertainment if that's not prohibited by local zoning.
When it opens up for bars, it opens up for the other types of entertainment. If it's adult entertainment, it could open up for those type of businesses. Now, the city stands in a little bit better positioning because we have zoning laws within the city.
Charles says those zoning laws would prevent adult-oriented bars from popping up all over Ashland, but not Boyd County.
A University of Kentucky law professor says it's time to get rid of the Electoral College. But the director of the McConnell Center at the U of L says there's nothing wrong with the current way America elects its president. Joshua Douglas and Gary Gregg debated the issue on KET's Kentucky Tonight. Douglas says it's not exactly democracy when the candidate most people voted for doesn't become president.
It's happened three times in our history where someone cannot win the majority of votes and yet become president. And if we think of ourselves living in a democracy and we define democracy as majority rule and consent of the governed, then you have the possibility of that not occurring.
That's the common attack on the Electoral College, what we just heard. It's undemocratic. It's nonsense. It is not undemocratic. We have 51 perfectly democratic elections that go into the Electoral College. So in Kentucky, will all the votes be counted? Yes. Will it be a fair and open election, whatever? Yes. Will one side win and one side lose? Yes. It's just the same way.
Douglas argues that the Electoral College causes presidential candidates to spend all of their time in battleground states, and Kentucky is usually ignored.
Kentucky's former state auditor and the host of the state's most popular sports talk show have launched a new political organization they say is focused more on generating ideas than electing people to office. Former auditor Adam Edelin and Kentucky sports radio host Matt Jones launched the New Kentucky Project on Tuesday. Edelin says the group aims to have chapters in all 120 counties.
Frankly, we have a top-down political structure that doesn't include regular people in the decisions that impact their lives and the lives of their children.
The New Kentucky Project will be governed by an executive committee and will cost $20 annually or $10 for college students to join.
The Kentucky Department of Parks is offering guided walking tours of the Perryville Battlefield State Historic Site as the park prepares for its annual Civil War reenactment. The tours beginning August 23rd are free with museum admission of $4 per person. They will offer guests a glimpse of the history of the battlefield as well as what to expect for the October battle reenactment. Park manager Kurt Holman will guide the tours. The tours of the museum and battlefield will be given August 23rd, 25th, 30th, September 1st, 6th, 8th, 13th, 17th, 20th, 22nd, and 27th. The Department of Parks is also offering advanced discounted tickets to the annual commemoration of the Battle of Perryville, which will be on October 8th and 9th. And taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, This afternoon, a 90% chance of occasional showers and thunderstorms, highs in the upper 70s. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers in the evening, then isolated showers later on. Lows near 67 degrees and the chance of rain overnight is at 30%. For Thursday, mostly cloudy with isolated showers late in the morning, isolated showers and thunderstorms again in the afternoon, highs in the mid-80s, and the chance of rain tomorrow is at 20%. It is currently 77 degrees in Ashland, 74 in Flemingsburg, it's 73 degrees in Inez, 77 degrees in Lexington and Winchester. Right here on the campus of Morehead State University, it is currently 76 degrees.
4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio, and there's not a soul we would rather spend a Wednesday afternoon with than you. On our feature segment this afternoon, MSU students and their parents may have noticed a new charge on their bills this semester. MSPR's Samantha Morrill explains why.
Supporting Success is the name of the new $100 Flex Food Convenience Plan. The mandatory plan ensures that all students spend at least some money at on-campus dining. Beth Patrick is Chief Financial Officer and Vice President for Administration at MSU. She says the Flex Plan spreads out the burden of supporting the school's food service company, Airmark.
We have to ensure that they make a certain level of revenue to be able to afford to stay here and run the program, because if they're not making money, they're not going to stay, and then we're not going to have a dining program. So we try to, you know, kind of make sure that it's spread across a large number of students so that it maintains affordability.
Students impacted by the new plan are those who don't currently have a meal plan, live off campus, and have a full course load that includes at least one class in a classroom. Patrick says there are a few ways students can spend their 100 flex dollars.
You can use it at any of the dining locations for a meal, or you can use it for sodas or coffee at one of the coffee shops or snacks, or you can even use it at the C-store if you want something other than food. So it's a flex plan, and you're not charged tax on it, so you really get $106 value for the $100 that's on the plan.
There has been some pushback from students and parents who don't feel that they need on-campus food options, but Patrick compares the mandatory flex plan to community taxes.
We all pay property taxes that support our schools, even whether or not we have children using those schools. And this is kind of the same thing. It's what's best for the overall community to have a comprehensive dining program. And so we want to make sure that we have enough people participating in it so that we can keep the program fiscally sound and make sure that Airmark is able to continue to stay here.
Patrick adds that Airmark contributed $10 million to the effort to upgrade dining programs and facilities on campus, and they are currently making plans to introduce food trucks on campus to help mitigate crowding at the temporary dining facility on 3rd Street while the University Center is being remodeled. Reporting for MSPR, I'm Samantha Morrill.
4:48, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports in just a moment.
Support for programming on MSPR comes from Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky. The TMMK manufacturing plant in Georgetown employs more than 7,500 Kentuckians. That's more than 15,000 skilled hands, crafting 2,000 vehicles each day, including the Toyota Camry. Guided tours of the plant are available to the public. More information online at visittoyotaky.com.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The USA men's basketball team begins pool play this evening when they take on Argentina at 5:45. After narrowly beating Serbia and France the last two games by just 3 points each, forward Kevin Durant says his team has to get back to playing with great energy all game.
At the end of the day, it's about us. And I understand we're playing against Argentina and we respect them, but it's about how we're going to come out. We got to be prepared to come out with extreme energy from the beginning. And I think, against Australia, we you know, it was a grind-out game. But against Serbia and against France, I think we came out with the great energy. But as the game went along, we kind of let up a bit. So if we take that energy that we had to start those last two games, I think we'll be in good shape.
The gold medal game for the Basketball Olympic Games will be Sunday at 2:45. On day 12 of the Olympics, the United States leads all countries in medals with 86 total, including 28 gold, 30 silver, and 28 bronze. China currently sits second on the standings with 51 total medals. The Cincinnati Reds host Miami tonight at 7:10 in Game 3 of their four-game set at Great American Ballpark. The Reds evened the series last night with a 6-3 win over the Marlins. Tucker Barnhart backed winning pitcher Anthony DeSclafani's seventh win of the year with a first-inning grand slam. Manager Brian Price got a scare when DeSclafani twisted his ankle while running the bases.
We were really concerned with the ankle. He was fine. He wanted to compete. But we felt, you know, after six, I talked with Mac and made sense to get him out of there. And you know, we're banged up as it is. Certainly don't want to lose a starting pitcher because he does something different with his mechanics. So we got him out after six and turned it over to the bullpen. They did a really nice job.
8-6, Dan Straley pitches tonight for the Reds. The Marlins will go with 12-game winner Jose Fernandez. Afternoon baseball scores from around the major leagues. Tampa Bay defeated San Diego 2-0. The Blue Jays beat the Yankees 7-4. The Cardinals currently lead Houston 8-1 in the ninth. The Rockies lead the Nationals 9-2 in the fourth. And San Francisco is up on Pittsburgh 4-0 in the fourth inning. Redshirt sophomore running back Lawrence Jones is glad to be back with the Morehead State football team. After rushing for 415 yards and 3 touchdowns as a freshman in 2014, the 5'8", 190-pound native of Ashland, Virginia, set out last season as he recovered from knee surgery. Jones says he's now 100% healthy and knew it after absorbing his first hit of preseason camp.
It was very important. I can't even tell you how many times I ran the first play in my mind and thought about what it was like to be hit because with the injury, you know, I haven't been hit in almost a year. But, you know, once I got that first hit out the way, it was great.
Jones is expected to share MSU's running back spot this season with sophomores Ryan Watkins and Brent Holman. The Round County football team will face a Clay County team in transition when the Vikings visit the Tigers in their season opener Friday night. Clay just over a week ago changed head coaches, and Round's bench boss Gene Peterson knows his team could potentially catch the Tiger program in a state of disarray.
We hope so, but you never know with those kind of situations. Sometimes you hope to be able to do that, but once the game starts, you know, that all that's thrown out the window. So, you know, they'll probably have some more emotion about, you know, trying to prove to people that they are a whole lot better than what they were last year, and they should be.
Round beat Clay 55-26 a year ago in Morehead. An undrafted rookie has his sights set on winning a spot on the Cincinnati Bengals 2016 roster. Wide receiver Alex Eckerson probably opened eyes for the Bengals coaching staff last Friday night by catching a touchdown pass and returning a punt for another score in the 17-16 exhibition loss to Minnesota. He thinks he has a real shot at making the team.
As a competitor, and you know, anytime you have a chance for something, you feel like you're in it, you know. And I'm not trying to worry about the numbers and all that stuff, just trying to come to work every single day, take what Coach Urban's, you know, preaching us, and just trying to do the best I can.
The Bengals visit Detroit on Thursday night in the second preseason contest of the year. The Morehead State soccer team is preparing for its 2016 season opener. The Eagles will visit Illinois Friday night at 8. Coach Warren Lipka says after watching MSU lose last weekend's scrimmage at Louisville 5-0 that his team really needs to improve its transition game.
They win the ball and then they think, okay, we won it. Now let's relax. No, we won it. Now let's get wide. Let's explore some space and let's get numbers forward. And that part of that transition game comes along with fitness. And I told you before, a week ago or so, we weren't happy with fitness. We're not game fit yet.
Lipka says the Eagles are using a lot of freshmen on their back line and they are still adjusting to the speed of the college game. And finally in sports, the order from a Brazilian judge ordering two American swimmers to stay in the country as an investigation into an alleged robbery continues means very little with the swimmers already back home in the States. AP correspondent Sagar Meghani reports.
Ryan Lochte and Jimmy Feagan were among four swimmers who said they were held up at gunpoint here in Rio Sunday, but police say they found little so far to back up the accounts. The U.S. Olympic Committee says police went to the athletes' village this morning to collect Lochte's and Feagan's passports, but that the swim team had already moved out. While a spokesman would not confirm where the swimmers were, Lochte's dad says his son arrived home in the U.S. yesterday. Sagar Meghani, Rio de Janeiro.
That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Morehead State soccer and volleyball season tickets are now available. Soccer begins its season by hosting Evansville on September 2nd, and volleyball hosts Wright State on September 6th. Tickets and more information from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed mostly higher as investors digested the release of the Federal Reserve's July meeting, and some voting Federal Reserve policymakers expect that a U.S. interest rate increase will be needed soon, although there is general agreement that more data is needed before hiking rates. This, again, according to the minutes from the July policy meeting that the Fed conducted. And the Dow Industrials, after being down for much of the day, did finish with a small gain of 21.92 at 18,573.94. The S&P 500 was up 4.07 at 2182.22. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 1.55 at 5228.66. Yesterday, New York Fed President William Dudley said a rate hike could come next month. And also, the Atlanta Fed President Dennis Lockhart said the U.S. economy is strong enough to withstand at least one more rate increase this year. On the oil front, U.S. crude oil rose almost a half a percent to settle at $46.79 a barrel after the Energy Information Administration data showed oil inventories decreased by 2.5 million barrels last week. Wall Street also digested a number of quarterly earnings reports before the bell, including Lowe's and Target, both of whom missed on earnings expectations for the latest quarter. Overseas, European stocks fell, with the Stock 600 index slipping almost 1%. In Asia, stocks closed mixed, with the Nikkei 225 rising almost 1% and the Shanghai Composite ending marginally lower. Gold futures for December delivery were down $8.10 an ounce at $1,348.80 an ounce. Among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were 3M and Pfizer, and your worst performers among the Dow stocks were Cisco and McDonald's. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Urban Outfitters and Navient Corporation, and your worst performers were Staples and Target. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 37 cents at 114.08, CSX up 21 cents at 28.18, Marathon Petroleum up 6 cents at 42.19, AK Steel down 11 cents at 5.11, AEP up 80 cents at 66.48, and U.S. Bancorp was up 19 cents to finish at 43.21. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Morehead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Morehead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, the rest of this afternoon there's a 90% chance of occasional showers and thunderstorms, highs in the upper 70s. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers in the evening, then isolated showers later on, lows in the upper 60s. The chance of rain overnight is at 30%. For Thursday, mostly cloudy with isolated showers late in the morning, then isolated showers and thunderstorms again in the afternoon. Highs will be in the mid-80s and the chance of rain is at 20%. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms late. Lows will be in the upper 60s. For Friday, partly sunny with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid-80s. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the upper 60s. Checking on some of the temperatures around the region, it is 77 degrees in Ashland, 74 in Flemingsburg, it's 73 degrees in Inez, 77 degrees in Lexington and Winchester. Right here on the campus of Morehead State University, it is 76 degrees.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Moraz, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapman, Jacob Lindbergh, and Kenzie Thompson. From the Kentucky News Network, Kurt Darling. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.